Morning.
Welcome, everyone, to the July 26th Council of Governments meeting. Our honorable chair is on vacation, I believe. I hope so. He works hard. So I am stepping in as your vice chair. So I'd like to call this meeting to order, and I'd like y'all to take a quick look at the minutes from June 28th and see if there's anything of concern or if I can get a motion to approve the minutes.
I have one concern here. We did have a representative for the city of Oak Harbor, Steve McCaslin.
He was
attending virtually. And if you can put that into the also present.
It's McCaslin.
And I actually was here physically. I was on video for a while, and then I showed up physically.
So you were half and half.
I was a half and half.
Half and half there.
We could do the half column.
You want to be, we can move it up. It does not make much difference, but it's good to know. I was not. Always better to be here in person. Any other changes to the minutes? Okay, hearing none, I'd approve, entertain a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion, a second, to approve the May 24th.
June 28th.
That's right. June 28th minutes as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, they are passed. And I'll entertain a motion to give me more coffee. The next item on the agenda is my item, and I'm going to have, this is such a challenging item. I'm going to have Layla pull up the slides, which I sent you guys a lot of information, and it's fine whether I was sort of, if you want to know kind of information, and I have even more information, and if you don't want to know, I can totally understand that. So I'm going to begin a little bit with a story of sort of why this matters. How many of you guys have seen the stories of people running out of water or electricity disappearing across our country during this summer heat wave? We often take for granted infrastructure. We don't think about the things that work for us. I turn on the faucet, water comes out, yay. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. For many people, the internet has become one of those functional infrastructure necessities. It's why you're seeing it in the Infrastructure and Jobs Act. I got involved in this conversation 5 years ago because I was recognizing the importance of access to care in our county and thinking, well, we could just do telehealth because I had worked with Robert Wood Johnson on a project like that in the past, only to find out we can't do telehealth if you have no access to the internet. So I have a gentleman who lives on North Camino, who during the pandemic, his wife was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and they weren't letting people in the doctor's office. So the doctors were sent home health tools to monitor her information, and they were monitoring her remotely, and the internet kept going out. They couldn't make these appointments, and they couldn't get into the doctor. And that's an example for me in my commitment for why this infrastructure is so important. We all saw the importance of it for remote workers during COVID. We saw the importance of it for our kids trying to do schooling. I saw the minivans lined up at our local library. Yay, Snow Isle Libraries, for all they do for us to do homework. So I just wanted to put a little bit of a context. And the story I just told you was just told to me about 2 weeks ago. And it's an area of Camino where we've now written 3 grants unsuccessfully and are still working to get this area connected. So what I wanted to first go back and give a big picture is Island County started their broadband action team following, I think David Day is here, following the Port of Coupeville taking that lead initiative on the CURB grant to help us do a feasibility study and begin to explore what is the broadband, aka internet, whatever word makes it easier for many, they get confused. And we started our Island County Broadband Action Team. And it initially was quite small. But we were very lucky in that all four of our internet service providers, Ziply and WidbyTel, what are called the incumbent providers, they have a right of first refusal. They sort of have rights, unique rights in our county to provide telephony services. And those date back to, I think it's the 1996 broadband bill, when they broke up the baby bells. So they're the ILEX, but we also have Comcast on Whidbey. We don't have Comcast on the other island. And we have Wave Now Astound. So all four of them came to the table. And this county tried to do a broadband action team a while back, and it was hard to get them because they're very proprietary. These are for-profit entities. They can be very, what I call, brazos cruzados. They're not going to share information, and for good reason. They're a private business, and they're protecting their market share. They're protecting their technology. They're protecting their data. I've been really pleased to have them come to the table, share information through the bat, and be willing to work with us in a somewhat non-competitive way. That's not true that it's always non-competitive, and there are times when it gets a little touchy. Since then, we've expanded. We also included our libraries, our schools. We have occasional participation from Oak Harbor. Well, we have ongoing participation from Oak Harbor School District, occasional from Camino School District. We've invited a number of folks to come and participate in that, depending on the type of conversations. City of Oak Harbor participates. Sharon Sappington from the EDC participates. And recently, we've added ICOM, first response. So we've really built a large table. When we finished, and I'm going to go into this study we just finished, when we finished, the team finished the recent state broadband planning, we now have 62 anchor institutions, organizations that are critical to our county that are part of, that are now mapped. We know their capacity, what they have, what they don't have. As an example, in my district, North Whidbey Fire Station has two fire stations that are underserved, that they really don't. We can't have our anchor institutions not well served by communication strategies. You went on to my map. No, do that, because I'm doing it from memory. So these are, you can see all of the different folks who are participating. Wazoo Extension participates. And then based on the topic, all the others. And this is important as we start pursuing other grants. Next slide then. So the Washington State Broadband Office was established back in, I think, 2018. And at the time, many of us thought this was going to be a policy and coordinating entity. It's now both a policy coordinating and funding entity. So they have worked hard to take advantage of the 40 some billion dollars that is going to flow through our nation for broadband. And it's running through the Internet for All program. We have been working across our state with the state broadband office and with other counties to address the policy challenges from the federal government and how this money rolled out. So many of us saw money roll out through the state during ARPA and other things, but not always was the money getting funded in hand in hand with the federal policy and treasury guidance. So in Coopville, we're in Coopville, the Port of Coopville was successful in getting early money. And a lot of people are going, where did all that money go? And why don't we have service? And the answer is not that the money went anywhere, but that it's taken that much time to work through a lot of the treasury guidance, the rules, and the things. So the Port of Coopville is now in a place, and David, jump in here if I get any of this wrong, where they're about to move forward. We've also, since we started our first CURB grant, we've gotten grants for up to Green Bank, up through Admiral's Cove. So Whidbey Telecom has been very successful in getting grants. We just got $11 million in our county for a mid-mile grant that will run all the way up the island, go off, and eventually hit Lummi Island and Point Roberts. So it's a multi-jurisdictional. In our regional work on broadband. We're really looking for those multi-jurisdictional connections that will help us build redundancy and resiliency in our whole internet system. We also identified very strongly the under and completely unserved areas in Island County. The reason that the Go First project was in Coopville was because Eby's Prairie and this area outside was the most unserved area in our county. And now the federal government has added programs for digital equity where that group of folks matter to help us assure that we're going to make sure that seniors are connected. How are we going to work with Island Senior Services? How are we going to work with Human Services, with the City of Oak Harbor, with our libraries to make sure that we're getting seniors, low-income folks, our veterans? I've been working with our veteran service officers about how do we make sure we get in the new funding the folks who have our priority populations to be served. And it may be because, again, they have healthcare needs or they have economic needs or they have educational needs, but it's this digital equity push. So we now have all of those partners mapped and what their capacity to serve is. And we're working with Snow Isle Libraries and others to start building digital navigators to help people actually connect. Because you may say, I've got Affinity. I'm going to use Affinity. I've got Affinity because they're not really somebody I partner with. And they say they can give me a gigabyte and I don't get it. So there's lots of reasons why that may be. And it may be your equipment. It may be this Affinity serves to here, but not to here. Whatever the reason, we have, one of the things that impressed me in a recent meeting was that Comcast was there and Vincent Bies, who is our liaison to Comcast, was talking to a gentleman out on North Whidbey who was complaining about no service. And he finally says, you know what? I'm just going to send one of my techs out to take a look at your equipment and your connections. Might've been, it was as simple as a rat eating through their wires, right? But consumers don't know these things. So getting people connected is how we do that. Next slide. Oh, that's the connections. No, I missed a slide. Did we miss a slide? Okay, let me talk about go back one. I did miss a slide in there. So the state just finished a large broadband planning effort across every county. Pretty much every county participated. It's what's going to make us eligible for some of that $1.2 billion coming into our state for broadband. We completed the study, and I sent you the executive summary. So I'd encourage you to read the executive summary. What I will point out is one thing we know in Island County is Island County, Kitsap, there are other counties where our biggest challenges are what are called pockets. So in my district in North Harbor, broadband goes right up the road, but this pocket's not served and this pocket's not served. And those are very expensive and the ISPs are not motivated to serve those areas because there's no ROI to go out there. In Coopville, we know that there's
acronyms, Jim.
Return on investment.
Okay. Return on investment.
But there was another one for that. Okay, just from now on.
Internet service provider.
Internet ISP. Service providers. Thank you. I live and breathe this stuff. In Coopville, Molly, I can tell you there's about 100 homes in one part of Coopville that has now been mapped as underserved that needs to get served, but it sits out there in sort of an isolated way. So it makes it challenging. So as we build these grants and we fill these, got 105 connections on North Camino that are unserved, completely unserved. Not even underserved, which means they're down to 10-1 old copper DSL. I don't know what DSL stands for, but the old
cover the phone.
So as we map all of this out, we've now identified exactly where our highest unserved needs are. And the $1.2 billion coming to our state is first going to focus on those unserved. We still have a number of people who are underserved. But as we push our providers to serve more, there is increased competition as they work with one another, and they are now investing in more and more of those underserved areas with increased capacity. You notice I didn't talk at all about wireless and T-Mobile. I've invited T-Mobile and Verizon to our bat for a number of years, had some interest, they've not yet showed up. The legislation that put county governments and municipal governments at the center of this was House Bill 1409, Senate Bill 5583, and it gave counties the nexus on fiber. It did not give us an entry point into the wireless, but they are part of the solution. And so the federal money that's coming is also talking about fixed and semi-fixed wireless, which goes to some questions that you all may have, and I'm happy to take these offline, but I want to be respectful of time. The executive summary, if you want to see any of the backup data from that summary, such as our the information we have about all of our human services institutions in Island County is now mapped as part of that because they're serving our priority populations. What are some of the goals we as a broadband action team will be considering, including smart 911? How do we strengthen our and update our emergency response and our emergency management services? So I'll take questions, a few questions here, but I want to make sure I allow time for our other guests. If you, or I'm happy to meet with you and go through sort of more in depth some of this stuff. It's hard, and I'll acknowledge, like, it's hard for Oak Harbor because they're underserved, but they are not unserved. They have very little unserved data points. So Blaine's advocating for his residents who are frustrated, or the city council or the mayor, but they actually, you know, it's the underserved. So where I want to talk with Oak Harbor, because the data will tell me that's where most of our priority populations are located, is how do we partner on connectivity and some of that digital navigation? We have you're going to ask me to say what ACP stands for, Affordable Connectivity Program. We have very low uptake of that program, and that money's already out there. And I've pulled the data, and I would love to see you at least 30% of your residents are eligible for this program in different levels. I'd like to see that uptake increase, North Whidbey. So where you have folks who are of limited income, they can really lower their bills. Plus, while we're in that process, we can have conversations about increasing service and skills building around this. So that's another piece that the broadband action team is working on, is how do we get those ACP, Affordable Connectivity Program dollars out to the residents who need them so that they're not spending. My broadband bill is $199 a month, and I go to county office to do meetings so I can be sure I don't lose connections. So we pay a lot, and sometimes we're not always getting a lot, right? So that's what brought us here. So I'll take any questions at this point in time. Yeah, stop share, thanks.
I just have a question on this, because this picture is cutting out. All four internet service providers in Island County, and it says Ziply, Comcast, and Astound. Who's cut out at this
point? Wibitel.
Okay.
I was reminded of a deadline 5 minutes before the deadline, and I didn't actually do a lot of good editing on this presentation.
Yeah. I know of Oak Harbor, we're very excited with Libitel with their grant and already talking with them. We have a road that we're opening up, and as part of one dig, I challenged them to go ahead and put in fiber. So they're already talking with them, and we're already negotiating a franchise agreement with them. So I know the council was concerned with Comcast, and I thought their franchise fee that we've been working on that's been out, it expired in 2014. I was pretty happy that we finally got it done and thought it was going to go to council, but because it was so many people were talking to the council about the quality of service and disappointed with the quality of service, the council turned around and something that I thought would be routine, they held off and did not pass it. And so we got to do further evaluation. Now, we were talking earlier about a difficulty we have with FCC law that supersedes us, that prohibits our ability to deal with that. But that just shows the frustration that people have with Comcast and with Ziply, and Astound is very limited. They're there, but they're very limited in Oak Harbor. So my whole solution here is competition. And I know that the city of Anacortes went in to do their own internet. That was their kind of solution. But let's just do it ourselves. I'm kind of a little bit apprehensive about that in Oak Harbor. I don't think we have the funding and the size that they have to subsidize that like they were able to do. So looking at competition and having the potential of Wibitel coming in the future will just kind of help us. And I know in other areas where there is competition, they spend more money on putting in the higher level of service. So they're about maximizing revenue, and it's a different, we're about equity, and equity is a different thing. And you mentioned about the affordability. Yes, we need to work on,
I'm happy to
promoting that. And so I'm trying to get the easy internet. When I first asked, I met with all four of the providers one-on-one after meeting them on the bat and had conversations. And so, and trying to improve it. And so the information that they gave me for affordability was pretty complicated and nothing I could put out there. So I think we're kind of getting to the, there's a federal web page and that kind of stuff. So we'll work on trying to simplify that and where we can really promote that and encourage people to take advantage of it. Cause we do have the only area that has the low income, that has the distressed population in the county. So we certainly want, in the name of equity, we really need to work on getting these people connected and being able to take advantage of the services that are offered them for lower costs.
I had brochures from Comcast about their program, which if you just reach out to Vincent, he can share with you, that's a little more understandable than the early versions of this. WidbeTel has a slightly different version of this program, and it's structured slightly differently based on how they do it, and Ziply has it. I don't know yet about Astound whether they offer this, but basically, if you're on food stamps, if you get government assistance in certain programs, you are eligible for this program. And you're right, there is now a portal on the federal website that gets you there to get you the information and you sign up.
Janet, where is Ziply's network, and are they looking at expanding in the way that WidbeTel is?
Yes, they are. And another little known network on both islands, although it's a critical function for our North Whidbey, for ICOM, for the base, for others, is a dark fiber network called. So there's three levels. There's dark fiber, which is the sort of backbone of all the internet. There's mid-mile, which is what comes off and connects out different communities. And then there's fiber to the premises, fiber to the business. And NOAANet is another provider that's been real helpful in the last year in helping us understand our capacity. Ziply is, so WidbeTel's ILEC, local exchange carrier, independent local exchange carrier. Trying to do that.
Good girl.
They are, WidbeTel goes to roughly Classic Road. From Classic Road all the way up North Whidbey and all of Kameno is basically the ILEC is Ziply, and it dates back to the very first 1800, contracts that goes back. You hold this in perpetuity as it moves on. That doesn't mean there aren't other providers in those areas, as you all know, but they have certain rights and responsibilities, and they're governed by the UTC on those rights and responsibilities. It has
UTC.
What is the UTC? It's a state agency commission that governs
utilities.
It's utility something commission, and they govern. I'm in a battle with them on some waste management questions. So they govern all utilities and kind of infrastructure conversations. It is a testimony to our broadband action team and our providers that WidbeTel has been able to expand north and up to Green Bank and up through to the edge of Admirals Cove in their grants. The Port of Coopville, and David, feel free to jump in, they are working with trying to figure out how they're going to structure their grant and are working with consultants. But it's a testimony to our team that we're not in fierce battles. In part because, frankly, I would call them out if they say they serve a place, because I've pretty much driven all of those lines and all that. It's a little bit of a weird obsession, but it matters to the people who it matters to. They are working more collaboratively in our area, and they're not tending to get in each other's way, and I'm appreciative of that. So WidbeTel has grants now to serve, well, it's not WidbeTel, it's actually because the state hasn't yet figured out whether we can grant or not grant to private businesses because of the gift of public funds and all of that. So it goes through the WIDBI Independent Telecom Association, what those grants are, which creates a level of bureaucracy that's frankly just ridiculous in my personal opinion, because the money's just getting passed through to WIDBI Tel and they're going to do the work. And I think in some ways, I appreciate the conversation about Anacortes and they've done a great job, but I'm a kind of believer in core government and doing what we do best. And last I checked, local government wasn't a really good provider of internet. Most of our state agencies are working with ports. It's challenging, Narv. We don't have a PUD on WIDBI. Puget Sound Energy is not a PUD.
Public Utility
District. Public Utility District. So their PUDs are eligible, but Puget Sound Energy is not. So SNOPUD, Snohomish Public Utility District, did a year of research on this, decide they're not going to play in this sector. They're going to stay on their core business. I could be frustrated, but I understand their point of view. So all of Kameno has no port district. All of North WIDBI and Oak Harbor has no port district. So it's up to the cities or the counties to step into that gap and apply for this funding. But I don't want to be a broadband provider. I want to be clear personally. I don't know where Commissioner Bacon or Commissioner Johnson may be different on that point of view. But does the city want to do this? It's a huge risk and expense. So I believe that the policies we need to be working on are policies that define open access for that competitive structure that we're talking about, so that they have to allow others onto these networks that are built, these fiber optic networks, and define what is public benefit, so that we know the dollars are going to serve those unserved areas, or they're going to serve an area that's uniquely vulnerable or low income. So there's a lot of policy questions we're struggling with on a state, regional, and local level about managing these conversations going forward. I'm going to take a breath, unusual for me, I know, and ask David Day if he'd like to add anything here.
Well, I don't really have a lot to add, Janet. The Port of Coopville continues to work toward developing a dark fiber line in the areas that we've looked at. To serve potentially around 1,100 homes. We're in the process now of working with consultants, WIDBI Telecom, and a company called ATCO to do design work on our system. And, you know, we're starting to jump through the hoops to build for a build out.
Yep. And you know, it takes
a long time because everything changes.
They were the first ones out. So they were the front line of all of this undeclared, all of the policy and guidance, federal guidance, you know, what is, and it's all based on the color of the money. If it's federal money, we're subject to one thing. If it's ARPA money, we're actually federal money, but subject to different rules. If it's state money, it's subject to different rules. If it's curb money, it's subject to different rules. If it's Public Works Trust Board, it's funded by different rules. And if it's Washington State Broadband Office. So this is not to the credit of Coopville. They've stayed the course and are now in a place where they're working to get that clarified so they can begin to build out that infrastructure that hopefully then will bring in providers that can bring fiber to the premises at competitive or at least, you know.
Okay, I just want to ask one question to David and Janet, but I don't want to have you guys take up a lot of time or go really deep on this. With your layman's explanation of dark fiber, middle mile, and then to the service, the home, is the Port of Coopville and WIDBI Tel installing that dark fiber line, the main line?
So you want me to take this, David?
Sure, I'll jump in if I need to.
Okay, so WIDBI Tel's project is a project that comes into WIDBI Island and goes all the way up the island to start filling in the blanks where we have, it's mid-mile, it's a federal grant. And then it'll go off about West Beach, become a submarine line that goes out, comes up, hits Lummi. So it'll provide some tribal thing and up to Point Roberts, which is, they are actually the ILEC, ironically, for Point Roberts in Whatcom County. So that's different. I think the Port of Coopville, what you're asking about is something we call overbuild. I think the Port of Coopville may benefit from that infrastructure, that, you know, highway. I think of it as like our interstate highways, and, you know, it's the same thing with routes that go off. They may benefit from that and collaborate on that, so that the dollars there, the government does not want us to overbuild each other. So they can then, those two projects can hopefully leverage one another. But that's really a great question for us to bring. And I'm happy to set up a just separate offline meeting with people who are interested, with George Henney and Zipley and others, to say, how do we leverage one another's work? Because that's part of what the Broadband Action Team has been trying to do, is in that convening, leverage one another's successes to continue to push out more service. For the public listening in, we get the grant, doesn't mean we turn it on. It's an infrastructure project. It takes 18 months to 2 years, depending on workforce and supplies, you know, materials, to get a project from funding, once the project begins, from project design to completion. So it can take up to 18 months to 2 years to make that happen. Important to note that we'll see no new money in the state until 2025. Because the state is taking that big plans we did, they're now consolidating it into a giant state plan. We have all kinds of concerns at county government level about that and making sure we're heard. And the next round of funding will come out in late 2024 or 2025.
James? Did that answer your question, Molly?
Yes. Yeah. Kind of. Okay. I'm going back to the very beginning of Janet speaking, of saying, and I know this is true, that all the for-profit companies don't play nice together.
Not always.
And so
mostly.
Well,
I like your optimism.
Well,
I am optimistic. So, Janet, are you saying that the citizens will, or? The citizen, I'm sure some citizens are going to see better internet because of the activities that WidVitel is doing, as an example, in my neighborhood. But generally speaking, the citizens who are underserved or non-served, are they, for the most part, not going to see an improvement until 2025? Is that what you said?
It depends on the area. It really does. It's very dependent on where they live and what the issue is. Because independent of all of this government funded work, they're reading the tea leaves and they're seeing that this is meant to increase competition. So they are spending a lot of money on their own to improve. You've probably seen the Zipley and the Stown and the Comcast trucks out running around. So they're already creating those improvements. You may drive along, and if you look at your power poles and you see the power lines on top and you see these black lines down below, and then you'll see coils of wire or these things that look like teardrops, big teardrop shaped connectors. Those are where they're already deploying more miles down that mid mile that hopefully will then be able to be used to extend out. The other piece I didn't talk about is something called Rural Development Opportunity Fund, and this is RDOF funds. It's very politically controversial because they bid on areas. There's some in Coopville and in Oak Harbor and in Camino, but they've built out Camino, where Zipley and Comcast, I can't remember who won what, but I know Zipley owns the one out by the marina, and they have up to 10 years to make improvements there. So this is a big conversation with Maria Cantwell's office on that. Is unacceptable, because we can't say to constituents live in that, what we call an RDOF area, well, you guys, sorry, you're contractually now tied to whatever provider bought that auction. Starlink bought a number of them. And so that you're starting to see those get turned back to the federal government, because they're going, just kidding. It's been particularly true of areas served by CenturyLink that there's been a lot of controversy. So you're seeing some of those get turned back to the federal government as we say, no, that's not fair. You don't get to exclude our customers, our constituents from service. But it is a slower process than I think we optimistically thought in 2018, 2019 when we started our curve. Finished our grant in 2020. Any other questions? Because I really want to respect the time of our other guests. You guys know how to reach me if you want to meet offline. And if you have, if you want to ask about a specific data point, I'm happy to sit down and show you how to do this. It's fairly simple. So you can help your folks contest if they don't have service, because those, that mapping is updated every few months. And every time you get a constituent to say, can I swear in a meeting? To say, forget it, I don't have service. And they do that. Those challenges have pretty much been accepted and the provider has to step back. That then becomes an unserved area we can serve in our grant process. That mapping is critical. So if you, if anybody wants help with that, our team's happy to help. All right, I'm gonna stop and move on. And speaking of valued members of our broadband action team, it was first Nick and now Jason. I'd like to welcome Snow Isle Libraries up, who, by the way, have the corner of on this digital navigation work.
Thank you. Is this, I don't have to turn that on, right? That's working?
It should be working.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I'm the official from Island County, the City of Langley, the Town of Coopville, and the Port Districts of Coopville and South Whidbey. I'm Lois Langer Thompson. I'm the Executive Director for Snow Isle Libraries. And along with me today is Michelle Callahan. She's the district manager for the Island County Libraries, and Vanessa Gutierrez, who is the Snow Isle Libraries Community Engagement Manager. I also wanted to note that Snow Isle Libraries is governed by a 7-member trust board of trustees, and we have 2 members from Island County, Jennifer Dupre, who represents Whidbey, and Rose Olson, who represents Camino.
I love Rose.
We love Rose too. We love her. I would, best board ever. So we appreciate this opportunity to update and connect with you. And we are also going out to all of the cities. We have been to Coopville and we will be to others as well. But we wanted to make sure we update and connect with you about what's happening in our libraries. We center our work around equity, diversity, and inclusion to help us achieve our vision of connecting everyone with their library. And we're committed to creating welcoming and inspiring spaces to bring our community together. Libraries are cornerstones of each of our communities. We started providing library services in Island County back in 1963. Mm-hmm. Some people may not have been alive, but most of us were. That was 60 years ago. So currently, because of that, the communities have access to 1.8 million items in our collection, which I make use of many of. We are a place where people gather for learning, reading, and to seek and exchange information and ideas. The power and value of a community place is seen every day at each of our Island County libraries. We will continue our commitment to working closely with our communities to make our libraries welcoming, inclusive, and easy to use. We support our local economic vitality and businesses through access to information, growing their customer base, finding demographic data and market insights, and learning a new skill. And you're going to see a theme here. You can learn those new skills with LinkedIn Learning, all free with your library card. We're also removing barriers by connecting our community to the beautiful outdoors by having Discover Places available to check out for free with your library card. And we help our community discover something new with genealogy, auto repair manuals, magazines from Consumer Reports to Martha Stewart, World News Collections, and of course, our very popular eBooks and digital audiobooks. And all of those are free with your library card. We also want to engage all the children in our community. It is a priority for our library that children are ready for school, ready to succeed, and are able then to finish school at a high level. We provide early learning support, STEM education programs, we have student access cards, and also homework help resources, which is just a gift to parents when they are sometimes beyond their own scope of helping their kid with homework. We're also building infrastructure. We continue to invest in our Wi-Fi access for our communities. I really appreciated being here for the broadband discussion. And just a little side note, we are involved in that policy as well. Every time we interact with a local, state, or federal official, we talk about broadband. We talk about the value that we bring, but we cannot be the internet service provider for everyone. And that your commitment shows that the long-term sustainability of these communities has to have reliable, affordable, accessible internet. So as mentioned, we serve on the Island County Broadband Action Team. I'm really nervous about that. Any acronyms. I worked with an organization where you had to pay money into a fund to use
acronyms. Oh, I like that.
So it's important to us that everyone have equitable digital access, and that allows the community members, as has been talked about, to access telehealth, do job interviews, or whatever information that they need. We will continue to have laptops and Wi-Fi hotspots for checkout, and we provide access to Wi-Fi at the library or in the parking lot. And it is a reliable source, and it is much more secure than some of the for-profit businesses. This essential service was prevalent. My first trip out to the island was in a windstorm, and when trees were down and power went out. We can't always bring power back up, but during the windstorms, people lose power. The library often is first to come back up, and people come in to charge their laptops, phones, and access broadband.
And stay warm.
And stay warm. And stay cool.
Stay cool.
And get out of smoke. So other parts that we weren't necessarily considering ourselves originally. We serve as a community point of distribution, and we do not have any ballot boxes at libraries here, right? But we do provide voter information and encourage people to engage in their civic.
We can put one there.
We can have a discussion about that. That would be great.
The city is the only North Whidbey one, so certainly having different locations would be the whole thing. Yeah, there's a lot of business in front of our city hall and almost crashes and everything. So, yeah.
We have them at other locations, so we'd be happy to have more conversation. Yeah. We've also added a new equity, diversity, and inclusion section to our website to celebrate and explore three areas: accessibility, citizenship, and EDI programs and services. Customers can browse our website in 7 languages: English, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Russian, Spanish, and Vietnamese. And we enhanced in-language browsing capabilities for a better search experience. And then, as we talked about, we serve as a cooling, heating, and hopefully smoke-free, as much clean air as much as possible. Across Island County, we continue to engage and support our communities. It's made possible by the passionate and amazing staff and friends of our library groups. So I'd like to share a few highlights from each of the libraries. At Coopville and Oak Harbor, we continue to engage families and develop critical skills through Prime Time, which is a 6-week elementary age reading program, and its impact on our community continues to grow. Freeland is one of the 2 libraries in our district with the Funding Information Network. This resource connects nonprofits with opportunities for growth and grants. Clinton is engaging the community through local programming, including a new gardening book group. How fun is that? I don't really garden, but I still think it sounds fun. And of course, Langley is celebrating its 100th anniversary. The 3,600 square foot historical building is owned by the city of Langley, and Snow Owl Libraries is collaborating with the city to revitalize the Langley Library while preserving its heritage. And we anticipate starting construction on that later this year. And our Camino Island continues engaging community through their local programming as well, including a mindful reflection through art and fun summer activities, including juggling, stay and play, and Japanese drummer. And we opened, I think about 2 years ago, a 24/7 holds pickup locker at the Camino Library, which is very popular. So this is just a smattering of the things we do. We're here for you. I was at a presentation in DC about environmental equity. And one of the things he talked about is not just being a partner, but being a neighbor. So we don't want to be a partner, we want to be a neighbor. We want to be a neighbor and making sure that broadband is available. Library services are excellent. So we'd love to meet with you. I'd be happy to come out again. I love coming to the island, meet you at one of the libraries and tour it with you, or just talk about what's important to you. But I'd love to open it up for any of your questions right
now. I just have a comment, Lois. I was at the Langley Pride event a couple weeks ago, and I was so proud and just delighted to see Snow Isle Libraries there. And I just really want to congratulate you and thank you that the way that we are doing library here in Island County is not necessarily the way it's being done nationally in many locations. And I'm just real proud of us.
Yeah, thank you. That was a really exciting program. I had hoped to come out for it. We had a book fair where families and students could come up. There were free books available for people to talk and just see the resources that are available. And I think, you know, we're very committed to the library being for everyone, that each family should choose the books that are right for them, and that we should provide access to a broad spectrum of materials so every family can find what they want. And being out in community events is really important to us. Thank you.
Yeah, just I'll talk about one of the things Oak Harbor is working on here, because currently we have a very complex relationship with a building that's technically on the campus of the Skagit Valley College, and technically it's owned by us, but we're kind of the middle person, but yet it's used by the library. So we appreciate the conversation there of us divesting from that and kind of moving out, and then it'd be easier for it to go to two people kind of doing two organizations doing that relationship rather than three us being the middle person there. So we appreciate that, and we certainly encourage the library to continue to work with us in that kind of change and in improving the relationship between Skagit and Valley College and the library, and kind of eliminating the city out of that complexity there, that three-way relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We really appreciated working with all the cities and the support we've had, but we're all about making sure that it works best for everyone.
Yeah.
The only thing I have to say is I think Coopville has the best library.
It is a great library. Coopville Library is a great library.
I love that library. I've been accused of talking about this too much because I'm over enamored with the Touch a Truck.
Oh yeah.
Activity. That was so fun a couple weeks ago. You walked out onto the green and all you could hear was horns and sirens and clicks and beeps and oh my gosh, the smiles on the kids' faces. And
yeah, you're guaranteed to have a big crowd when you do Touch a Truck. Mm-hmm. It's really exciting for the kids, but it also builds those relationships between these important service providers and the families in our community. And it's pretty cool to get up next to a fire truck in a non-emergency situation.
The town brought out four vehicles, and I don't know who's smiling more, the kids or my staff that was getting to put them up in the trucks and let them blow the horns and answer questions and take pictures while they're in the front loader scoop bucket. And yeah, I think the staff has just as much fun as the kids do.
One of the vital services you provide across our county are meeting rooms. Mm. And those public meeting rooms, I've used the one at Coopville a number of times. Wazoo Extension uses that as often, and Camino Island. And I appreciate the effort to try to make those accessible off hours and to all folks in different times, and yet also the complexity of that conversation. We had a recent meeting on Camino about that. I'd like to offline have a conversation about and this includes the cities as well, is, you know, how do we map out where, because I think one of the things that became clear to me in that meeting was the lack of knowledge of where all of the different meeting rooms are in our communities, because our fire stations provide vital community meeting rooms. I'll be tonight up at Taylor Road Fire Station. That's always been very generous with their space. The city provides meeting rooms. The county provides meeting rooms. I think a conversation I'd like to have with all of us is how do we map out and share information about those community spaces and how to access them, what the rules, constraints, and all of that are, because they're really, whether it's Soundwater Stewards, when I was executive director there, we used our libraries for much of our meeting rooms, or it's a local sewing and knitting group or gardening group, they're used so much, these community spaces. So that's a thing I'd like to introduce and think together about. How do we provide better information and mapping about all of those community spaces, how to access them, what the rules may be, because even within our spaces, there's different rules and different sub-providers, such as Freeland Hall.
Yeah.
So I think it's a conversation that the public might appreciate, because it became clear to me in the meeting I attended that there wasn't a really robust understanding from the public of where those resources are.
That'd be great. And I know, nothing library staff love better than a referral. So we would be happy to welcome them to use our building, but if they can't, if it's booked already, or if it's not large enough, we love to be able to refer people to a source that works for them. And just to throw in one exciting note, part of the Langley remodel, you may not be aware, there's a basement that was kind of carved out of the down there. It's an interesting space, but the city had stored critical records and police records, and so we've worked with the city. They have moved those out, and we will be remodeling that basement, which will then allow us to add a meeting floor.
Oh, wow.
So we are increasing the spot community as well. Very exciting to get that underway.
Do you also provide, so in the King County Library System, the libraries were also workforce sites. Do your libraries also add workforce sites where people can go on, access the online portals for workforce?
I'm looking at Michelle, yes. And I think there have also been some specific programs where we've done that. And I think that, you know, one of the things that a library does in a community is a place where people go and ask us, if, you know, sometimes I have, after all these years of being in libraries, think, wow, I wouldn't have thought to go to the library for that. So people have a question of where the place they go. So whether it's finding internet access through the affordable something program.
Connectivity.
Thank you.
I'll get you that information.
Connectivity. And we have that information for them, and we try to make sure that's available so people, because sometimes people don't even know what to ask for as well. But that workforce is really important to help people move through that transition. Same with the digital navigators as we work toward that.
Thank you. Yeah, I brought my mom to one of our celebrations.
Yeah, so fun.
I love our libraries. I was the kid who went to the bookmobile and always came home with five books. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Next, we're sort of around the table. There's any interests or issues you want to raise? Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Janet. I do have one quick item. I was going to make a joke about acronyms, but I'm going to skip the time for that. I have a notice of funding opportunity from the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration to distribute some funding related to climate resilience. I want to thank Mayor Scott and Langley staff for bringing this to our attention and first reaching out. I will have Layla distribute that notice or the write-up on that information from Merchant McIntyre, our grant writing consultants in DC, for you all to see. We've invited either yourself or some of your staff to a meeting related to putting together an application. It's a regional challenge, so we need multiple partners participating. It also is something that is focused on equity and large long-term impacts. So it's going to be a group effort if we can put together a reasonable application. The minimum funding request for the first round of this is $500,000. And so that also you can see why it requires regional cooperation, because it's both a grant for planning and a grant for actual physical projects. $500,000 for planning for Island County, even with all of us involved, is probably too much money. So we're looking for some things to package with that climate planning, climate resilience, climate mitigation planning work that people have already developed projects. So that invitation has gone out to folks like Meredith and in Langley and to Chris at the port and others. So you might check with your staff. It's either been sent to your planning director, your executive director, city administrator, various people in various jurisdictions. Any questions I can answer, or I'd be happy to. David.
I'm just wondering what the parameters for the actual work might involve.
So it would probably be best for you to look at the written information than for me to try to explain it, but it's mitigating.
Can you send that information to me directly, please, Michael?
Yeah, Layla will send it to everybody in this group. I've asked her to do that and she has a copy of it. And then there's a link in there. You can go to the grant NOFO, notice of funding opportunity to get more information, but it could be mitigating the impacts of climate. So for example, it could potentially be involved in raising the wharf or climate resilience for the wharf. And projects that are already very well planned and may have permitting can really help the overall eligibility.
Great. Mayor Chaplin.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just had a couple of things. So August 7th, our new city administrator comes on board and we're going to do a reception for him at the Island Church, probably at I haven't exactly decided the starting time, but probably around 4:30, I'll send out an announcement. And for those of you who don't know, he has been the director of the Public Works Fund for the state of Washington, and was also in the interim director of the broadband fund. So anyway, he may have some interesting things to share with us. He's actually in the middle of finalizing the approving different grants. So anyway, so that if anyone can come to that, it'd be a good chance to meet him and get to know him. And then on August 12th, there's going to be a second delegation going over to visit the Tulalip tribes. We had one, Todd Morrow was kind enough to arrange for a bus last time. We're probably going to carpool to the ferry this time. And then the tribe will meet us with one of their limos. And we got a complete tour of the reservation, went to the High Bull Center, met with some of the council members over there. It was a very wonderful experience. So if anybody's interested in that, please let me know.
Thank you, Mayor. Any other items, Blaine?
Yeah, I just want to thank Michael Jones for taking the lead on this. That was part of the list from Larson's office. Gave us a list of grant opportunities. We went through them all with our grants administrator, and she kind of came back and said, well, we don't really qualify for any of them. And then she just mentioned the one on the regional. And then when the county mentioned that, that gives us an opportunity to at least participate, right, and compete for one of the, I think there was about five or six different grant opportunities, and they were all kind of things that just didn't really fit us. And so I appreciate the regional effort there and leadership, and certainly we'll work with a team and see if we can get some opportunity there to be competitive for that grant.
Thank you. I think that we talked last year at length about all this federal money coming in and how hard it is for small jurisdictions to leverage it. So the county is, through this relationship with Merchant McIntyre, through this group here, is trying to address that to create collaborative, well-leveraged efforts. But to Michael's point, anything that's shovel ready is going to help us significantly. Any other things, Sharon? Would you send out an email regarding the women's economic employment survey that's going out in that work? And I think it's even part of our SEDS work. Would you send an update to Layla that talks about SEDS, where we are? That was an incredibly good update at the EDC last week on SEDS, but also on the women's employment initiative that was mentioned there. I think others may be interested in that.
Yeah, SEDS is...
Sorry. So when you talk about the women's initiative, are you talking about the military spouse?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I will circle back to you. I went to a workshop about military spouses while I was at the conference last week. And yes, the SEDS is the
Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. All right. With that, we will adjourn this meeting. Thank you, everybody, for coming, and try to be ready for IRTPO.